97.5, The Fanatic. The Birds enter the bye week at 5-4 after a 22-14 win over the Bears. Questions surrounding the receivers continue, and the injury to DeSean Jackson lingers. The Patriots are up next on November 17th at the Link. This is the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, live from PJ Wellahan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing. Now here are your hosts, Devon Gibbons and Brian Westbrook.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Pro Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic, coming to you live from PJ Wellahan's, 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Our spot every single Monday after every Birds game. And of course, this is a big one. Of course, not just because the Eagles won 22-14, a two-game winning streak going on right now after beating the Bears yesterday at the Link, but we have some news. But first, let me say hello, of course, to the host and the star of this show, of course, Brian Westbrook. What's up, B-West?
What's going on, buddy? Great evening. Obviously, a great win for the Eagles last night. Anytime that you can get a win, and you know, I believe if you get a win by one or you get a win by 100, it's the same thing. Same win. You put a check mark in a W column, and so it's Victory Monday here for us on the Brian Westbrook Show, and Victory Monday for the Philadelphia Eagles and our fans. And I'm excited about that.
So you go into the bye week, of course, 5-4, two big games afterwards, but you go into the get a little bit of rest for your guys, your key guys, to give themselves an opportunity to get themselves together for the stretch run with the final seven games. But something so big that we talk about with this game, highly anticipated seeing DeSean Jackson come back yesterday, B. And then we get the news right before the show, so we had to bring in the big guns
to help us out
here in Cherry Hill. We'll start to our far right with our pregame show partner. Jason Avant, what's up, Jay?
Yo, how y'all doing?
Perfect to have you here now with this news that happened with DeSean.
Check that out. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
We have plenty of time hanging out until 7 o'clock. And the big fella, my man, from Quick Slants.
There he
NBC
is.
NBC Sports fellas? Philly. Protecting the left side.
That's right, man.
Barrett Brooks.
I appreciate y'all having me out here, man.
Listen, man, good to have you here. It's right over in your neck of the woods.
Right around the corner, man. But I just figured out that I'm not getting paid for this. I thought you were writing checks.
We got snacks.
No, brother. I said I was going to say hello and shake your hand.
He said he got friendship dollars. That's what he said.
Snacks.
I said, man, what is that? That don't pay the rent.
We got snacks, man. What are you talking about?
Man, you guys are
trying to pay y'all in love.
Come on, brother.
That don't count no more.
No, that don't count.
And you get the good seat at the end of the table.
Right. Right.
But listen, it's B. We got to start with you, man. DeSean Jackson, he left early in the game yesterday, of course, coming back from the abdominal injury for the first time since week number 2 against the Atlanta Falcons. He goes out there, makes a couple of catches, and then he disappears. He's in the tent, and then he's back in the locker room, back on the sideline, but we don't see him for the rest of the afternoon. And, of course, the news comes out just a little while ago that he's going to have surgery now for that abdomen issue that he had at the very beginning of the season. And you and Jay spoke about it, and Trey as well, and B will get your thoughts. But, B, I mean, now with Jay, Brian, with everything that's happening now, what do you think? If we are going into the bye week. Trade deadline has passed.
Yeah.
These look like your wide receivers, and now he's out.
Well, I think you mentioned it. We're stuck with the guys that we have. We're stuck with the people that we have, Mac Hollins and Alshon and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. We're stuck with those guys, and Nelson Aguilar. I think here's the thing. You know, I think DeSean fought like, you know, hell to try to come back, and he rehabbed himself. He thought he'd made the right decision as far as not getting surgery versus getting surgery. And he's had this injury before, and I've never had it, but I've talked to a bunch of people that have had it, and they said, you know, the difference between surgery and not having surgery really is a couple weeks of rehab. And so he kind of elected to not have the surgery and thought he was going to come back healthy. You know, and the Eagles need him. They need an explosive player down the field. They need someone that can open up the defense like DeSean Jackson can because of his speed. I just continue to think this is a miscalculation by Howie Roseman, though. Listen, you're watching his rehab. You watch him on the field when he goes out and practice and then runs around. You can obviously tell he wasn't right. I saw DeSean from the first play of the game, and I was like, he's not right. They tried to throw him the football, and you can just tell he couldn't pick his legs up. He was moving slow. He wasn't DeSean Jackson as you know him, and he's a speed guy. If you take away speed for speed guys, what else do you have?
Sure.
And as talented as he is, he just can't overcome those types of things. And so when I watched him, I'm like, you know, what did Doug see all week long in the limited reps that made him think that this was going to be enough? What did Howie see you know, in the weeks before the trade deadline and said that we're going to get this guy back. He's going to be healthy. This 32-year-old back, he's going to be healthy enough to help us throughout the season. There's nothing that they could have seen that would have made them think that this guy was going to come back and help them. And I love DeSean Jackson. I'm not saying that this is his fault. What I'm saying is that how we should have made a move before the trade deadline. Sure. There were some guys out there to be had.
Sanders, you talked about him from Denver.
I'd love to have Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah. Obviously, you know, a lot of people want to say Josh Gordon. I'm not so high on Josh Gordon. I want a speed guy that can help you out.
So high on Josh Gordon.
You're right. There it is. But at the same time, you know, I just got to wonder why they didn't, you know, address the issue. Because even with DeSean came back, there were still issues at the receiving core. Even if he came back, that wasn't the only problem.
Is it trust, though? Is it trust issues? Do you think that's the biggest thing, trust?
As far as trusting?
The younger guys.
Oh, trusting the other receiver. I think there's a talent issue.
Oh, okay.
And so,
bigger.
Well, but listen.
And when you say trust, you mean Carson trusting those guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think that Carson doesn't trust them because they got a talent issue. That's why. And when you can't get open, it's hard to trust you. You know, and so I just think it's hard to get things going that way. And I'm glad to see yesterday them go back to Zach Ertz. I'm glad to see that they found a way to get Zach Ertz back involved with the offense. To me, that's something that you had to do, something that you should have been doing from the beginning of the season. However, even with that, you still don't have that explosive play. And when you're playing the better teams, the Saints, Green Bay, obviously they lost yesterday. You're playing even the Rams coming back, San Fran. You're going to need explosive plays down the field. And without DeSean Jackson, what we've seen on the field thus far, these last 5-6 games, that's not going to be enough.
Jay, yesterday you mentioned 75% of DeSean Jackson is better than most. And to Brian's point about the talent, you were right. But unfortunately, now we won't get a chance to see that. As the reports go, he tore the abdominal muscle yesterday, where it's now, again, going to require that surgery. What do you think?
Well, it requires surgery from the beginning. And this is what you get when you allow the player to have a choice. It's either you have surgery or we put you on IR, because we will not allow you to handicap our season or depend on you, and we don't know if you're going to be 100% healthy. The guy that does surgeries for all of the athletes in all sports that invented the surgery for core muscle or sports hernias, his name is Dr. Myers. He's here in Philadelphia. I've had that injury, and the only way you can correct it is through surgery. So they messed up by allowing the player to have a choice in this matter, in this situation, because every player is going to choose their body and believe that they can overcome it because they're Superman. But if he would have had the surgery early, he would be close to being back by now, but definitely back by the playoffs. Now we don't know if he's going to be back for the remainder of the season, and it limits it hampers, you know, the Eagles' chances of making the playoffs, because you have to change your game, because you at the beginning of the season, you were counting on yourself being a quick play offense and a big play offense. Now you have to play the methodical game, and I don't think that we're built to move the ball 10 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards to come up with 7-8 minute drives. I don't think that we can consistently do that, because our quarterback at times can get off. Our receivers at times will drop balls. At times we will have mishaps in pass protection. We have all of those things working in conjunction at different parts of the game. In order for you to move the ball down methodically, you have to be perfect in all those areas. And when you have an explosive player, you don't have to be perfect. So losing him loses a bunch for this offense. And seeing that, it makes me wonder. Yes, is it a Howie issue? Is it a Doug issue? Is it you know, allowing on a relying on the players too much, but not listening to your medical staff is something that you can't do in this league. They get paid to know your body and know how to treat your body. So you got to listen to their voice over the player's voice.
And this is a new medical staff again this year, right? So I think the last couple of years they've changed medical staff in and out, and it just seems like either the players don't believe it, or the coaches or someone in the front office doesn't believe in the process of what's going on with the medical staff. Because right now, you know, we have a lot of guys that have been injured, and it's taken a long time for those guys to come back.
Over the last few seasons.
It doesn't seem right. And listen, and you mentioned this before the show, Devon. Mac Hollins had a similar situation to him a couple years ago, and he had the surgery. And I think he had an infection. He had a lot of different things. He ended up having to have another surgery. So it was basically a year and a half until he came back to play. And again, I don't know how it all went down, but that's probably why Deshaun was like, listen, I'm just going to try to ride this thing out and try to get healthy.
Right.
I played with T.O., and he had a similar injury, and T.O. was just, he was a machine. He is a machine still. He worked his core every single day. I used to watch him in the training room doing with the bands, just doing all core work, and he was able to play with it. There are certain guys like Jason. Jason played with it. There are certain guys that have the ability to play with it and be able to do something in the offseason. But again, when you have a speed guy, it's just hard to overcome that because yeah. they're built to run fast all the doggone time. And Deshaun, yeah. and listen, it's not about being soft or anything like
no,
that.
No, it's not about it's being
just
soft.
About, it's just about what you do well. And right now, he just wasn't built to do that.
Brian Westbrook Show, of course, the pro show with Brian Westbrook here at PJ Willingham's, 1854 East Martin Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I'm Devon Givens, special guest. Of course, here with us tonight, Jason Avant and
Yo.
Barrett Brooks. The show is presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show live from PJ Willingham's in Cherry Hill. Grab a seat early and enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 sliders, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos. That's all day, every day. Enjoy $7 19 Crimes feature wines by the glass. Also presented by Rudder Roofing, windows, sliding, and decking. They will protect your house and the tile shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery. Barrett Brooks, how do you assess this now with Deshaun Jackson gone? These guys talked about it. You have no weapons on that side, no speed. Miles Sanders has been that only guy. You can't rely on a rookie running back to be your explosive player. What are you looking at now?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody said a lot on this show just now, and I'm looking at it and trying to take everything in, and I can't speak from a fast guy's point of view, so I don't know. I was never a fast guy. The fastest ever guy was 5'0",
ooh,
and I thought I was burning.
Blazing.
You know,
okay,
saying?
I'm with you.
But, burning the trail.
Look at that. Just look at that, man. Just like you said, all right, Mac Hollins had the injury, got the surgery, was it out a year. But also Zach Ertz had the surgery, was only out 4.5 weeks.
Right.
It really depends on what right. your body does and how your body goes into it. Now, in saying that, all right, I came to the conclusion we weren't going to have him, you know, for the next, you know, year anyways. You know what I mean? We're talking about an injury from a fast guy. When you run a 4.2.
But you mean the actual Deshaun, the explosive
yeah, the
Deshaun,
explosive
even if he
Deshaun.
Came back.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you never as healthy you are coming into camp.
Right.
So in saying that, I really find that this team found an identity now. They have an identity. They understand now if you run the ball, good things happen. We know Alshon isn't looking as fast as he used to, but he's still a guy that can move the sticks. If you run the ball consistently, it's going to open up everything else. Now, just to show you how big of a factor that Deshaun was in this game, you see how the Bears entered the game. They had mostly it was two-man, two high safeties, everybody man underneath. Once they figured out Deshaun wasn't in it and we were running the ball consistently because that safety wasn't in the box, came out that second half, changed everything up. They brought that safety in the box. They were like, well, Doug, why aren't you running the ball? Because we have an unblocked defender inside
can't
the
block
box.
Enough people.
But we have to understand, if you're still one of those guys that's going to mash and maul people like the Brandon Brookses want to do, the Isaac Sayamalos want to do, it doesn't matter. 4 yards in a cloud of dust, you can win a Super Bowl with that. I had the same type of offense. We all know Hines Ward was slow as pond water.
Right.
You know that. We didn't have a burner. We had Randall L. He was okay. You know what I'm saying? We had Cedric Wilson. He was okay. But if you establish the run like we've been doing it, we still have an opportunity to take this thing to another level. Once we start confiding in the run and not going out there and try to pass. Now, I think we really need to get Carson to get the trust factor going. You know, you talk about, you know, when you hit me with the talent level, it threw me for a loop, man. You know, because you got to explain that to me more. Because I really think that, you know, they wouldn't have drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside if he wasn't somebody that's going to come in and produce right now. What do you think is the biggest issue, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, it's hard for young guys to get on the field. I think J.J. is missing some speed. I think he's missing some explosiveness. You know, he was supposed to be the 50-50 ball type of guy. There was a game, I think it was versus the Lions.
Detroit. The last play of the game. Yeah.
He gotta go up and take that. Again, he's a rookie. So, counting on him to be that our game breaker, sometimes it's just not there. And I don't want to put that type of pressure on him. So, when I say talent level, when I'm saying, can he go out there and be one of the better receivers in the league right now? Absolutely not.
Right.
And not only am I not seeing it, the coach is not seeing it because they ain't throwing the ball to him. Carson's not seeing it because they're not throwing the ball to him. Same thing with Mac Hollins. And I like Mac Hollins as a young man. But Mac Hollins himself said, I want to play special teams. There's a reason why he said
told
that.
Us.
He said
told
that because
us. Five games, no catches.
He doesn't see his offensive in the weaponry on that same level. He thinks of himself as a special teams guy, which is fine to me. You know your role. But offensively, we need you to be a receiver right now.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's not who he is. Alshon looks like a shell of himself just because of speed. But listen, all of that being on the table, they were still able to beat up on a very physical, nasty football team as far as on the defensive side.
Defensive side, yes.
Which to me is good. And to your point, I think they're going to figure out that, hey, we need to run the ball consistently. That's the only way that we can win. And the hard part for that is coaches like Doug and Andy, they believe that we just run the ball when we're tired of passing it. That's what their thought process is. They believe that the quarterback wins the football game. When you're a quarterback,
it's just
like this. If you're a shooter in basketball, how do I get myself out of trouble? I shoot. How do I get myself in trouble? I shoot. How do I make everybody better? I shoot. Because that's what you do.
Fired up.
If you're a quarterback, you're thinking that the way I make things better is to throw the football down the field. And you got a $100 million quarterback behind the center. You're saying get him involved and we're going to win games that way. Unfortunately, the way the team is built currently, that's not the way. And I think you made a great point about that. They have to do it a different way.
Yeah. They have to do it a different way. I agree with that. I do think it's problematic when you do pay a guy $100 million. You want to be able to see him win a game or two.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing that goes hand in hand with a run game is a smash mouth defense. Do you think we have a smash mouth defense?
No.
Right.
Nope.
So those are the things.
Right.
Like, so you can't have 1A without 1B. You know,
right.
You can't have it. So
and
when
the
you,
reason why though, tell us the reason why.
The reason why is because like when you're even in practice, the teams that run the ball well, usually their defenses are really well because they're used to practicing against it every day. They're used to smashing people, hitting people, and I don't think that we have the same safeties and the linebacker play to be a dominant defense. We have the D-line play to be, but to take on blocks with the guys that we have and to be able to punch people in the mouth, I don't think that we're built like that. We're built to run around and to run guys down, not necessarily run through them. So I think that you have to have a balanced attack. Yes, should the run be more prevalent than the pass at this stage with the receivers that we're playing with? Of course they. Of course it should. I think that we are like destitute at receiver right now. The reason I say that is because when you have your star player dropping balls like Alshon, we're talking about very, very catchable balls. And this is just not this game. This is throughout the season. Ertz has had some times of dropping. Nelly's dropping them. And for the life of me, I can't understand why J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is not on the field. If you drafted him in the second round.
Yes, you can. You got to understand.
No. I can't.
Because he can't help you. That's why.
The reason I can't is because even when you draft a guy in the second round, you allow him the opportunity to figure it out because you have nothing else to lose. You have Mac Hollins. You have an unproductive Nelson Aguilar. You have a guy that's a shell of himself in Alshon Jeffrey. You drafted a guy in the second round. The only way that he's going to be able to get better is to get live bullets, learning how to get off the gym, learning how to play the game against top talent to see if he can sink or swim. Right now, you're just prolonging the inevitable, which means that he can't play. I want to be able to see as a fan if he can play or not by my own eyes.
Well, the problem is that the reason why he's not playing, because it's probably in practice, but it's probably also when he gets in the game, he doesn't catch the football well, he doesn't get off the jam well because he's not quick enough, he doesn't get open. And more importantly than all of those things, the quarterback who's throwing the football doesn't have any confidence in him. And if he don't have a confidence in him, I don't care if he gets wide open.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't throwing him the ball. There was a couple passes yesterday where Nelson is wide open. Guess what? I'm not looking your way.
So right.
With Doug said something. One second.
Right,
Doug said something today. He was like, well, these guys are 6th and 7th in the progression as far as players in time.
Yes, he did.
Well, what's that mean to you?
Well, that's
he ain't playing.
And that's an excuse for him to say, well, hey, you know, these guys are not good enough, but I have to make it sound good in order for me to say that these guys are 6th and 7th in progression. That's why they're not getting the ball.
We have to hope that J.J. improves and gets better.
I never heard of 6th and 7th.
I don't know. In progression? When Doug said that, I was like, well, how many players do you have on the field?
So, Jay, so what does that tell you?
Well, that means they're on the bench. Because, like,
that's where he's been at. That's my point.
6th and 7th in progression.
At this point.
6th and 7th in progression.
But it goes to the point where we talk about
he's worse than alignment. Like, come on,
you don't even have that amount of time to do that. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But, when we sit there and talk about
Nelson Agholor and his struggles, we sit there and say he can't catch right now. Right? He can't play.
He actually caught the ball pretty good yesterday.
Yeah,
but to your point, it's the same thing with these guys. They can't play right now. They are not good enough. So even when you say put him out there because he's a second round pick, Jay, he's had opportunities to go out there and do that. And even when he wasn't
producing. And
you guys are going to say, okay, a rookie dropping a ball in Detroit?
No.
With the Detroit Lions game, he shouldn't get another opportunity. That's a rookie will always mess up something. You just hope it's at the beginning of the season and not at the end of the season.
But as you said, they're destitute already and they need the help. And you have Mac Hollins just running down the field just to run and block on run plays and things of that nature. Yeah. Why aren't you putting that second round talent in?
Because I don't know.
Something is not right.
The only thing that I can think of is that he's having a hard time learning the playbook.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I can think of, because in any other circumstance, he's playing.
Well, this is what you do when a player has a hard time learning the playbook, the complete playbook. You say, all right, you can't learn 1,000 plays. How about you learn these 30?
Yep.
And I'll put you in on these 30.
Right,
and then at that point, you say, okay, now, JJ, your turn to go play.
But he has to be off
come
of the practice
bench
right now.
And go sit over there and play. Now it's time for your time to go in the game.
And, Jay.
And unfortunately, they don't
want
to do that.
And what kind of routes, if you have him out there, would you want him running, knowing, again, that he's a 50-50 ball type of player? He's not a speed guy.
Well, ran a 4-4. It's a high one. Hank Baskin wearing one, too. But it takes the guys a little bit longer to get going.
All right, so what kind of plays are you running for him right now?
Anything. Like, I would run like a post with him. I would run a dig with him. I'm talking like a bang gate post that's like a out of your hand, like slants, and cuts, things like that. That's what bigger body guys do. They don't run comebacks. They don't run.
Box the guy out.
Yeah, the box. So you want them over the middle, that type of thing. I think we're making it a little bit too complicated. Like, if the guy's open, Carson shouldn't be thinking about, listen, I don't know if you dropped the ball. If he sees color, throw the ball. He's open. It's it. And just if they drop it, they drop it.
I just know that the confidence in the receiver goes a long way, and it just so happens that if you catch the football a bunch, I'm going to keep throwing you the ball. If you drop it, guess what happened? That may be your last opportunity.
12 personnel.
Listen, every
running back, two tight ends.
Everyone has said that. Like, listen, Alshon Jeffery was going straight down the sideline. I heard today on the radio multiple times, like, well, they shouldn't be putting him on a fly pattern down the side. Like, man, you have to hit him.
You got
to
hit him.
Like, there's four or five plays that you – Darren Sproles on third down. You have to hit him. Zach Ertz on the right side. You have to hit him.
Darren Sproles dropped that one in the middle, right?
No, he didn't drop it. It was too high. He's 5'1". Like, you know what I mean?
Don't be a heightist, though.
Don't go there.
We don't do that around here.
You got to put on them.
And just because you're a certain let. No, come on, man. Let's keep it simple. This is Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, live from PJ Willingheads in Cherry Hill, here with special guests Jason Avant and Barrett Brooks. And guys, when we come back, I want to ask you guys, what do you do now? This is a smash mouth running offense right now. What do you do in terms of wide receiver? Do you go out there and you still try to acquire someone out there on the market, or do you simply go with what you have and see how things play out? 610-632-0975. Maybe we'll try to squeeze some phone calls in before we get out of here at 7 o'clock. Hand things off to Joe Torti and D Line on the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at FamilyJewelers.com, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. Brian Westbrook, Devon Givens, Jason Avant, Barrett Brooks, right here. The Pro Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Live from PJ Willihan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 1854 East Marlton Pike is where we are. Brian Westbrook Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens with special guests Jason Avant and Barrett Brooks alongside with us here until 7 o'clock. Joe Torti and D-Line them up at that time. So, guys, we were talking about it during the break, having a fun animated discussion about it.
About to make me mad in here, man.
And we need to bring it up here. And listen, I'll just say it right from the top. DeSean Jackson out. Listen, first of all, the Eagles got the win, 22-14.
Great win.
Really good.
Great offensive win. Line play. Yes. Good play from your running
it
back.
Was. No defense
they
was really good.
They scored at the beginning.
Played well.
At the beginning of the game, the second half.
We need to give your boy in the middle.
Who?
Fletcher Cox? 9-1 went out there with a
chip
on his shoulder.
Yeah. Last
yes,
2 weeks.
He
played well.
Brandon, too, though, now. Brandon Graham has been balling these past two games.
Yes, sir.
So at the two-minute warning yesterday, I took a photo of the stats. 12-0. Eagles up at that point. Two-minute warning going into halftime. 66 rushing yards for the Eagles. 104 passing yards. 170 total. 19-21 time of possession. Let me give you Chicago's numbers.
No, they're terrible.
Please.
One rush yard. Yeah. Minus 11 passing.
They terrible.
Minus 10 total, 743 time of possession. The defense was really working. Couple that with the fact that Mitch Trubisky in the first half was terrible. The defense did their job. They were up, again, as much as 19 points before Chicago tried to force themselves back into the game, which they did. But, man, that was ugly first half, B.
But how are you a healthy scratch when you're a second-round draft?
Oh, see, we was trying to do...
Are you talking about Sydney? We trying to be positive.
See?
I'm messing.
Better drag us right back in there.
We're trying to talk about a win.
Well, I'm talking about another
how you healthy,
second-round draft what we might need to bring back.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Well, I'm going to start with Fletcher Cox.
Let's start with Fletcher Cox.
Last 2 weeks has been playing like a man possessed. Obviously, he's gotten healthier. I think you're adding in Brandon Graham. And, you know, for a defensive line, what I thought... Early
when
the
your
season.
Door get kicked in.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got beat up a little bit.
You just said that, man.
I didn't say that. You know we
not on break right now.
Yeah, but hitting problems at the house. Okay, Well, he's been playing like a man possessed here recently. That defensive line has showed that they got a little bit of depth as well. And I think that when you bring back Jalen Mills, you bring back Ronald Darby, you bring back Avante Maddox, I think the secondary has looked better, too.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we haven't played the best teams as far as passing the ball the last 2 weeks. But these guys have looked better. They except for Malcolm Jenkins. Yeah, he keeps messing up coverages.
Man.
I'm not sure exactly what
cover
he's...
Four.
I think it was cover three. Where's Isaac at? I'm not 100% sure.
You talking about on the game play?
McCloud said it was invert. They inverted the corner and the safeties on that play.
Really?
That's an invert. Yeah, but listen, he was wrong.
He got to go.
He still got to get up because nobody there.
Nobody's threatening him. He got to stay back. So, you know, but I'll say this. I think the defense has played well enough. And I think they're getting better. I think they're getting healthier. They're getting better. And I think we should expect more and more from our defense. And based on what we talked about with the offense, they're going to have to put up points. We're going to have to get the ball back from our defense. They're going to have to get interceptions, hopefully pick six, things like that. And I think that as they can get more and more healthy, that we should be expecting those types of things.
I mean, look at Nathan Gary. If I could teach that boy how to tackle, wrap up.
Yeah.
He'd be a monster because he's getting there to make the play.
That's
he's
right.
hitting the guy, but he's not getting
not
him down.
Him up.
You got to wrap him up, man. You know, I think he's finally made that turn that corner from being a safety to a bona fide linebacker. He's making play, but he hasn't finished the play, you know, and I think that's what's going on, man. Finishing plays.
And defensively, also, Avery got in there yesterday, got himself a couple of nice
half
plays.
Half a
sack, and, you know, some nice plays yesterday. So you saw something from everyone. Brandon Graham be another sack. He's got six in the last five games.
Brandon Graham is one of those guys that, you know, when I remember when I first saw Trent Cole, I always thought he was a hustle guy, he was an energy guy, but then he got some skills. And then it was just hard to stop. Trent Cole was. Brandon Graham has the skill. He has the motor. And he's able to play inside and outside. He's just hard to block.
Yes,
he's fast.
Is,
yeah. He gets underneath people. And when you have that type of guy, he's a glue guy, too. So it's kind of weird that you can be all of those things. But that's how important he is to this defense. And then you add Fletcher Cox, who deserves a double team on every play.
Yep.
It's just hard to compete with that type of talent. And then you get some of these young guys that's coming along. They'll be able to get off the edge with Barnett and things like that. I think our defense has a shot of playing well, especially against some of these older quarterbacks that will be in the pocket as we play them. This is a great opportunity for our defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense was the shining spot of all yesterday, with them holding Mitch Trubisky, what, 10 for 21. He was under 50% passing, 102 yards passing. Like, it was really bad. And so I thought the defense played really well. He didn't need much help, but so Mitch Trubisky was bad out there.
Yeah, he was really bad.
But I thought overall we played well on defense, and I was happy about that, seeing that Deshaun was out and knowing that we have to be a dink and dunk offense as far as passing. Like, it's going to be middle screens and slow screens and wide receiver screens and all these things in order to generate plays and generate big plays in running the ball. So your defense has to be, complimentary, and I think that's the way to go.
And when you mentioned the screens, really nice screen that Dallas got, it later kind of sealed things up.
Well, I want to remind you guys, and so I played on a bunch of teams where offensively we weren't great. We were being carried by our defense.
Yep.
You can still win a lot of games that way. You can get to the NFC Championship game. You can compete, especially if the defense is getting the ball back to you. You can win some games with that type of defense. I think our defense will continue to get better. Offensively, we just got to find a way.
Okay, find a way. So what do you do now with Deshaun Jackson out? And if as you just said, the defense can carry,
take
maybe
them out of the equation.
Talent-wise, are they there? We don't know, because they really haven't come together to show that defensive performance outside of what we saw against the Jets and what we saw yesterday as well in the first half. But what do you do now at the wide receiver spot in terms of replacing Deshaun? Do you go out there, Brian, and try to bring someone in off the street?
Well, you can't trade anybody.
Or do you run with what you have?
Yeah, I think you got to go with what you have. I don't know that there's anyone that's going to come off the street and be your number one guy or be your number two guy. If they had that ability, they would be on the team somewhere already. And so I just think that you go with what you go with. I think that over this next week, when you have the bye, Doug has a game plan. He has to figure it out. That's why he gets paid. He's a Super Bowl winning head coach.
Yeah, be innovative. You know,
this is his opportunity. Yeah, this is his opportunity to say, listen, this is my team, and I'm going to go out there and help them win by some of the play design. And look, before the season started, I had people coming up to me saying that Doug is one of the best play designers in the league. Okay, well, now here's your opportunity. Figure out a way to get Nelson open. Figure out a way to get Alshon open. They figured out a way yesterday to get Ertz open on some of those little. It's almost like a Texas route. And so with the little rub and come back inside, wide open. They ran it several times, touchdown on one. And so you got to figure things out. And we have so much creativity in the NFL right now. Doug should be a part of that as well. And he has a whole week to figure it out, how to make these guys that we have on our roster work.
We got friends, though. Carson has the best friend out there they can go get, right?
Who's that?
Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Matthews. I know we did.
Jordan Matthews. Jason Avant.
Hold on. Brian looked like he wanted to fight me.
I got that look at the break.
Right.
I'm going to describe Jordan Matthews. 6'3", 6'4". He runs about a 4'5", 4'6". He ain't going to catch a bunch of balls for you. He's not explosive down the field at this point in his career.
Yeah.
Does that sound like anyone else that we have on our roster already?
We got three of those.
They're all the same person.
Didn't you have that same issue last year?
But Jordan's going to catch it.
Oh, there we go.
And he's going to run the right route, right?
Does he answer our problem, though?
No.
At this stage of the season, you can't answer that problem, though, right?
The organization has failed to answer the problem because they allowed the player to make the decision on his injury. So when you had an opportunity to go get Emmanuel Sanders, you had the opportunity to go get countless other receivers that were available and ready for trade, they failed. So now we're left being, with, Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall or Jordan Matthews or whoever else that's trying to still be in the league, you know. So J.J. Nelson, I'm hearing that name a lot, but he can't catch either. So people don't watch him.
He's fast, but with
no hands, it doesn't matter.
You know what I would like to have been? I would like to have been in the war room or wherever Howie was at when they said, you know what, how about Emmanuel Sanders? I wonder what the answer was. Was it, he's not good enough? He's a one-trick pony. He can get. I saw what he did for San Francisco last week.
Yeah.
Looked pretty doggone fast to me. Mm-hmm. Looked like he can work for me. Looked like he can be a deep threat to me.
No, Emmanuel Sanders has always been one of the better route runners in this league.
You can
always
put him in the slot. You can put him outside. Yeah. You can do a lot of different things with him. But, listen, we talking about stuff that will never happen. We can't get these guys. And so now we have to figure out, how do we win with the guys that we have? That means, to me, you go back to Ertz. You got to go back to that Will.
Yes, sir.
He's one of the most productive guys that we have. You got to go back to 86.
You have to turn this into when the Patriots had Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski. right, where they were the number one and two option. You had Edelman and you had the Amendola and whoever else was out there. And you make the two tight ends the number one receivers, the number one and two receivers. That's what we should be making this, right? And but for some reason, we're stuck in this West Coast mentality where we have to give Alshon, who's in Jerry Rice's position, the ball. Mm-hmm. No, you have to transform and adapt in this league. And your personnel is telling you that your best pass catchers are your two tight ends and your rookie running back. And we're going to turn you into Aaron Hernandez. Forgive me for anybody that's offended out there for saying that, but also Gronkowski and James White.
Yes.
So that's what we're making this. And rather than trying to make Alshon be a vertical threat and Nelson Aguilar be a vertical threat, we'll work you in when we can. But these three people are the priority when we're throwing the football.
The biggest thing we need to do is run the ball, man.
And we'll get into
the
that.
Perfect personnel package, you know, 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends.
Run the football. Jordan Howard looked pretty good again yesterday, so we'll get into that. The Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports theme merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Brad Brooks, our special guest. I'm Devon Givens on the other side. Our final segment, we'll talk about the running game, kind of look ahead to the bye week and what's going to happen. And then, of course, the New England Patriots who fell last night to the Baltimore Ravens. This is the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook in Cherry Hill, New Jersey at P.J. Willihan's 1854 East Marlton Pike right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
647, 97.5 The Fanatic, The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook here in Cherry Hill. PJ Willihans, I'm Devon Givens, special guest Jason Avant and Barrett Brooks here with us. Guys, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Coming up next, Joe Torti and D. Lynam. They will take you into Sixers basketball. Playing the Suns tonight.
Undefeated, baby.
Ooh. Ben Simmons with the clutch free throws the other
question.
Night.
Yeah.
My goodness, I was happy about
Corp
that.
Corp say, forget y'all.
Special moment.
Hurricane Corp.
Special moment. Hit those free throws. We got the Suns tonight. I'm tuned in. I'm running out of here.
Yeah, Devin Booker.
Oh, your cousin. Yeah, you got to go check your cousin.
Got to go check my man out. Make sure.
But Devon don't like Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker.
No, I like Devin Booker. He's just gunning.
He's a volume scorer and hold the ball a lot.
Yeah, man. I'm saying, you know, Mikael be in the corner sometimes. I'm like, yo, passing the ball.
He ain't doing that.
It's all good, though. Ricky Rubio, you know, he's on the team now. We got a point guard.
Yeah,
so it's all good. But that's coming up at 9 o'clock. So Joe Torti and D. Lynam will get you right into the groove, heading into Sixers basketball. Of course, talking some Birds, but mixing in some Sixers as well. But B, the running game, Jordan Howard looking good again. So if this is how it's going to look, Jordan Howard has looked really good over the last few weeks, kind of, again, establishing himself as the lead number one guy, mixing in Miles Sanders, who does his work as well.
Well, I'll tell you this. You can't mention the running game without starting up front. And I'm glad that we have Barrett Brooks here because if you don't start up front, then you ain't got enough. You ain't winning the trenches, then you ain't got nothing. And I'll tell you right now, that offensive line unit as a group has come together. They're getting up to the second level.
Yes, sir.
They're doing a great job of blocking on the first level, getting up to that second level, and providing holes for Jordan Howard. And this week he had the cutback working just
right,
a little bit. And B, tell me what you saw with that group, because, listen, across the line, the rookie, Isaiah Malu, Jason Kelsey, you're talking about Barrett Brooks and Lane Johnson. Those guys have all kind of came together and looked really good up front.
Yeah, I mean, and it's basic football, just basic football. They creating double teams, you know, on the inside zone, you know, double team the front side and the back side, creating a hole, pushing guys back and getting up on the second level, and then basic power football, double team the front side, pull the backside guard. That works all day. And the biggest thing is the rookie is starting to look at Jordan Howard or how he's running. He's starting to run the same way. One step cut, get in there, and always falling forward, man. You love the block for guys like that, because if you know a guy's going to be giving his all, you're going to give everything you need right then and there, bro.
The one thing that I was afraid of with this Bears defense was that they got guys that could come off the edge and rush the quarterback, but their linebackers were fast. What we saw in this game, and you talked about getting to the second level, is our offensive linemen were up on those linebackers right away, and they didn't let them go.
Yeah, make them make a decision.
They didn't make any. I want to go back and look at their stats, but I didn't see Roquan Smith making a bunch of plays, the other linebackers making a bunch of plays. It was their safeties having to make plays because our offensive line were doing a great job blocking.
Well, if you look at it, it's always a great stat for your offense when you see that the safety has leading the team in tackles.
That's right.
Yeah. Jackson had 10 tackles.
The game before he had zero.
Exactly. So that means that he had to be in the equation. That means the running back getting to the second level before they're getting touched. I'll take that all day, man. When your safeties are leading the team in tackles.
I think the play that kind of defined the run game was his Jordan Howard's touchdown run. There was a one-on-one with Eddie Jackson. He purposely...
Yeah, he didn't want none of that.
He purposely ran out of the hole. Did you see that?
He made a business decision.
Yo, listen. He literally went to hide behind a defensive lineman and didn't step in the hole. I was like, oh, my goodness.
That's how were you this, supposed to
he's
do.
He's a man back there.
That's right. What you're supposed to do. And guess what? Eddie Jackson knew from last year what was coming through that hole. 230, 235.
Former teammate. He knows.
Coming downhill. That's why.
He ran away. I
love
like,
him
man,
when
why?
You have the quarterback under center. Because he's coming downhill, and the defense got to make a decision. How you want to handle this thing? Do you want to go head-to-head? If you want to do that, then you got Jordan Howard downhill football. If you don't, get out the way, Eddie Jackson, and we're going into the right end zone. That's exactly how we should play. And listen, as much as I talk bad about Zach Ertz's ability to block, he's been blocking a little bit better, too.
Yeah,
he's been more physical. He's been more willing to do it. And if that's how we have to play football and win, that's how we have to play football and win.
The biggest thing for me this past game was how would Dillard hold up against Khalil Mack. You didn't hear his name.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't hear Khalil Mack's name much. Nice shot. Just in the run game a little bit.
How much was he over there as well? How much did they have him over there?
He goes both ways. But it doesn't matter. They still have good pass rushing, Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack. And for him not to give up pressures and things like that, Carson had a decent amount of time to throw the ball. Yep. He got sacked a few times, but it was still decent. To throw the ball. Like, the guys weren't getting open. The number one read, that's a common theme. The number one read in this offense is not getting open consistently because he has to go to two and three. He holds the ball more than any quarterback in the league.
Way too long.
The reason is because they don't respect anybody on the field. And when they don't respect you, they'll get in your face and they just make you hold the ball, right? When you respect, you have a guy.
Threat.
Well, no, they treat them like they can't play.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're treating them like on defense. They're treating them like they can't play.
That's why you see most of these teams playing cover three.
Right.
Playing cover three, man. They just bring a safety down in the box. You're going to beat us in the middle with your tight end. You're going to try to beat us with your tight end. So we're going to line up against them. We ain't worried about going deep.
And zone coverages, they're saying, okay, I got cover three, I got cover four, but I'm still going to press you.
Right.
Where do we do
crazy.
This?
Yeah.
It's great. Like the one that the sideline third down that Alshon dropped, Princeton McMorris said, you know what, I'm going to press you. It's cover four. I'm still going to press you.
No,
I don't care.
What?
How do you press
a couple four? I'm a press you go for because listen, I don't believe that you're that good. I'm just going to step in your face.
Alshon's not going to run past him. But here's the good thing about that: with what you guys just said, they're going to play cover three behind. That means you got eight guys in the box. We still ran the football for 146 yards yesterday.
Yes, that's something
that we have to build on. So as we go into this bye week, Doug Peterson needs to start game planning. You wanted to get in 12 a couple weeks ago. I don't know, beginning of the season. You didn't have Dallas Goedert. Now it's time to get into 12 personnel, run the football, pass out of that. Once they get into that base defense, meaning four down linemen and three linebackers, now we can find Zach Ertz and throw the football down the field. That's the way that you attack defenses moving forward for this offense.
You got to do it that way because, I mean, nobody's going to respect your passing game. Nobody respects your receivers. Only they do respect is your tight ends. So you just bring somebody in the box that can either cover a tight end or come run support when they do run the ball. And that's what teams are going to do to us, man. So just like you said, the biggest thing we got to go forward with is I want to see how innovative our head coach is in calling plays and formations and
he's done a good job the last couple weeks.
Yes, he has.
I thought he's done a good job.
He's looked creative. He looks like he has some purpose and plan. But it all starts with the run game. If you can run the football, you can be as creative as you want because you can be patient as a play caller. The other part to that is we faced teams that offensively weren't going to score a bunch of points.
Exactly.
So you can be patient. You can do whatever you want because you don't expect that team to score more than 14, 15 points.
Okay, guys. I mean, listen, real fast, briefly, before we take too much time from Joe Torti and D. Lineham, Patriots and Eagles, those two link up at the link in a couple of weeks. Both teams have a bye week. Patriots fall last night 37-20 to the Ravens.
Yes.
Quickly, each of you, what do you think? Obviously, the bye week.
Well, the Patriots got exposed a little bit, being able to run straight down the gut. Now, we don't have Lamar Jackson, so that's a different thing. But I think we still have the ability to run straight down the gut. And Mark Ingram last night, he did just that. Yeah. And they're trying to stop Lamar Jackson, but we have to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, the thing that the Patriots did was a creative blocking scheme, like just causing unconventional blockers to come out of different places, the Ravens. So, yeah, so if you can bring a receiver down, a whim block, tight ends, cross, those types of things, I think it would confuse the Patriots.
Absolutely. I'm thinking the same thing. You got to run a ball, run trap plays, get them moving. You know, we used to run bob play, block somebody tight end down and pull somebody on the outside. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Give them something that's unconventional.
Guys, the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook has been presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Again, join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show live from P.J. Willihan. In Cherry Hill, you grab a seat early, enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 sliders, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos all day, every day. Enjoy $7 19 Crimes featured wines by the glass. Also presented by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Sliding, and Decking. They will protect your house and the tile shop, where the pros go for exclusive savings, referral rewards, and job site delivery. B, I believe we're at Byright next week.
Are we? Back at Byright.
Back at Byright next week on the bye week. So we'll hang out there and we'll definitely talk some wine there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love their wine, man.
We'll definitely talk some wine there. So, Jay, no pregame show for us next week. So you get the week off, man. Well, we'll have you on the show.
Take a little break, man.
Come on. Yeah, see there. Take a little break.
All right, just take a little break. You know, handle some things at lunch.
Hardest working man I know. Him and Barrett Brooks, man. I appreciate you brothers coming to me. I appreciate the Brooks family as well.
Thank you for everybody coming to. We got to thank Josh back at the studio, Vince and Joe C, engineering, and Matt and Justin on the ground crew, of course. And thanks so much to everyone here at PJ Willihan's for helping us, and for everyone for stopping by. Absolutely. Coming out like they do every week.
They're paying us in chicken wings, y'all.
To eat some food, man.
That's what you
deserve. You earned it.
Coming up next, it will be Joe Torti and D. Lineham carry you until 9 o'clock. Sixers, Suns, the undefeated Sixers and Phoenix Suns. I'm not saying anything. I'll talk to you later. That's right. We say that right there. Oh, Joe Torian and D-Line are coming up next right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.